Can we put our hands together and just bless the name of Jesus? Can we just take a few moments to bless him? To tell him how much we love him? Come on, just talk to him for a moment. Can you just talk to him for a moment? Just tell him how much you appreciate him. The fact that he loves you so much, that he watches over you, that he keeps you, that he sustains you, that he supplies every one of your needs. Oh, come on, just take a moment and bless the Lord. Tell the Lord, if it had not been for you on my side, I don't know where I would be. God, if you didn't get me here, if you didn't do the driving, I wouldn't have gotten here today. If you didn't wake me up, I wouldn't have awoken this morning. Oh, come on and let them know I just appreciate you, God. I just, for every valley, oh God, for every valley that you've brought me through, for every mountain that you've allowed me to. Come on, just take another second. Just take another second to just bless him. We bless the name of Jesus. Somebody tell the Lord thank you. You may take your seats. You may take your seats. We greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm just a preacher who loves Jesus. I really do love him. I really do love him. And if you mess with me, I'll start crying. Because I love him so much. I do get emotional. But I found out there's nothing wrong with getting emotional. Amen. As long as that's not the crux, amen, of your relationship with Christ. I know the truth too. So it's the truth often that gets me emotional. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, amen, my soul cries hallelujah. I thank God for me, saving me. God has been good to me, and I just give God praise. And I promised him that as long as I had breath in my body, I would give him praise. Always had a desire to just worship God. I always been kind of churchy. Amen. Even as a young man, I was churchy. And so I'm still churchy. But I don't apologize for being churchy. I wish some other folk were churchy. The day we're living in, we need some more churchy folk. But it's so good to be here at Shiloh. And I, you know, you all are messing me up, Pastor, because I just got Shiloh out of my system. I was calling Mount Zion Shiloh all the time. And then my wife would say, Mount Zion. And now you got me at Shiloh. So at my board meeting next week, I'll probably say Shiloh again. But we thank the Lord for this privilege of standing in this great pulpit, because this is a great pulpit. I had a little opportunity last night to go to your website, and there is a great legacy at this church. And so we're just honored just to stand in this place. I like old preachers, amen. And you had a pastor here that laid a foundation. And I thank God that you have a pastor now that is secure, amen. And he is built on that foundation, and I honor you. So many of my younger colleagues dismiss everything that was done prior to their coming. But thank God for a wise pastor who understands that Shiloh didn't start when he got here. And so I honor you for that, and I bless you, because it takes a strong man to do that. And I honor you, sir. I bless you. It's just a privilege to meet finally Pastor Armstrong. We played tag on text, amen, but we finally got one another, and we thank God and look forward to a long-lasting relationship with you and the Shiloh church. Amen. To this, Deacon Ross, I believe. Amen. God bless you, sir. Our presiding officer. To the deacons, deaconess, trustees, to the administrative staff, to the ministerial staff, to the appreciation service committee, to all the people of God, to the Mount Zion choir. Amen. God bless you. To all the people of God, we greet you in the name that is above every other name. Well, I'm still convinced that there is no other name given unto men whereby we must be saved other than the name of Jesus. I am unapologetically saved. Amen, somebody. I'm on my way to heaven when I die. Amen, somebody. Amen, amen. And so we bless the name of Jesus. We also congratulate you on this Officer Appreciation Day. It's good to say thank you. Our parents taught us good manners. It didn't cost you anything to say thank you. And so we appreciate the fact that you have brought us here today. Pastor did not have to call. He could have gotten one of his own, amen, or called across the street, but he called up the road a piece, amen, to call this boy by the name of Eric to come and share a word today. And so we are grateful and we are humbled. We bring you greetings from the Mount Zion AME Church, where Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, where we're changing lives for God's glory. We do apologize for Pastor Myra not being here. She is over in Bermuda. Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah and amen. But she is working, praise God. And so I don't feel as bad because she's working. She had to preach last week, and then she participated in a workshop on yesterday, and then she had to preach twice today. So she's working, so I don't feel that bad that she's in Bermuda and I'm here. Amen. And so we bring you greetings. She told me how what a wonderful people you were and how well you treated her. And so on behalf of her, let me thank you, because people don't have to be nice. And when they are, you should say thank you. And so thank you for how you treated Pastor Myra when she came, and the hospitality, Pastor, that you showed her when she was here. Amen? Well, it's about 6 o'clock, and amen. I purposefully did not write out my sermon like I usually do, because Mount Zion knows me, amen, and I have proclivities, amen. I have certain proclivities. I told you I'm churchy, and I don't mind staying in church, and so I have proclivities and to want to stay in church for a while, but I'm not going to do that tonight, amen, amen, because I know you all, amen, have been here all day, amen. And Pastor Armstrong is my friend now, and I want to come back. Amen. And so prayerfully, I will not be with you long. But there is a word from the Lord from the 25th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, if you will turn there with me. And thank God for our minister of music, Brother Noel Doring, amen, who is a blessing to the body of Christ. It's okay, you can clap for him. Bless the name of Jesus. Matthew 25. I'll be reading beginning the 14th verse. You already know this passage of scripture. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, and to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. So he that had 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. The word of God thus far. You may take your seats. This afternoon, I would like you to consider for a theme, the celebrated servant. Can I just be at home? For the time that's mine, I'm just going to preach about the celebrated servant. Can you open that? The celebrated servant. This 24th and 25th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew contains a message that was delivered by Christ as he sat on the Mount of Olives and taught the people of God. As a matter of fact, the text says he taught them as he was coming out of church. Amen, somebody. One writer called the message a prophetic discourse. As such, the message then is both eschatological and it is apocalyptic. Two big words with simple meanings. The message is eschatological in that it speaks of that which is to come in the future. Eschatology speaks of that which is to come. But not only is it eschatological, it is apocalyptic. And it is apocalyptic in that it talks about the end times and things that would happen at the end of the world, because you do know this world is coming to an end. Amen, somebody. And I don't know about you, my brothers and sisters. In my estimation, that is a good thing, because we're on the verge of destroying one another. Have I got a witness in this house? This, as it is, needs to come, in my estimation, to an end. And so, my brothers and sisters, it speaks to the end of the time as we know it. But tucked in the language of this 25th chapter, in the midst of this prophetic message, is a lesson on what I call the celebrated servant. Can you say that? The celebrated servant. Now understand that the special designation of the celebrated servant implies that all servants are not to be celebrated. Can I say that one more time? I'm not talking about it. About anybody, I'm just talking about what I'm talking about, as my bishop used to say. Can I say that one more time? The special designation of the celebrated servant implies that all servants are not to be celebrated. And the reason that all servants are not to be celebrated is because all servants are not worthy of celebration. Oh, have I got a witness in the house today? Can I be real, Shiloh, this afternoon? Some servants are just non-celebratory servants because some servants are slothful, laid back, sluggish, uncaring, and apathetic. We don't celebrate slothful servants. Another reason that some servants are non-celebratory is that some servants are insolent. I know that you don't have any of those here, Pastor. They're rude, disrespectful. Have you ever gone to a restaurant and the server acted as if you were doing them a favor by coming to the restaurant, that you weren't spending your own money, but they had invited you? Amen. I don't know about you, but I have problems with that type of service. Amen, somebody. They are insolent. Amen. I've gone to a drive-through and it was almost as if I was bothering the young lady at the window. Excuse me, ma'am, can you get off, are you ready to take my, and then they get upset with you and have the nerve and audacity to mess up your order. Amen. Some servants are non-celebratory because they're insolent. But then there are some sloppy servants. Their service is sloppy. They're untidy. Yes, go to some restaurants and sometimes the way, amen, I don't go to these restaurants anymore, Pastor, but the way some look make you want to get up and turn around and, I mean, gravy drip. You know what I'm talking about. Sloppy and untidy and disorderly. We don't celebrate that type of service. But thank God. Somebody ought to say thank God. There are some celebratory servants in the kingdom of God. And that's why we're here today. We're here to celebrate the officers of the Shiloh Church. And as a matter of fact, you ought to put your hands together that Shiloh has some servants that are worth celebrating. Shiloh has some good servants that serve well with a good spirit and a good heart. Is there anybody here that appreciates the fact that there are some celebratory servants in the house? So just for a few moments, I want to talk about what makes a servant worthy of celebration. The first quality that makes a servant worthy of celebration is the servant has to be a faithful
servant. Amen. A servant that is worth celebrating is a faithful steward over that which does not belong to them, but has been placed in his or her care. The Bible in the text says that the Bible, the master of the house, delivered his stuff. Amen, somebody. This was not their stuff. The Bible says he delivered his stuff to them. It was theirs. Let me suggest that we come to the realization, church, that we really don't own a whole lot. Have I got a witness? I know you pay the note every month. I know you have papers in your file cabinet to certify that it's yours. But can I tell you the truth? What you have really ain't yours. Psalms 21 says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Tell your neighbor, it's really not yours. God is just putting some stuff on loan and letting us use them so that we might be faithful stewards. But let me tell you, the same God that gave it to you will take it away if you're not faithful with it. God is looking, he's looking for some faithful stewards. The Bible in James 1 and 17 says that every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of life, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Listen, we're going around telling our children, no babies in here, telling our children that a white fat man with a red suit comes and brings them stuff on Christmas. I told my children, I didn't tell them that he didn't exist. I just told them every good and perfect gift. All that I have came from God. The car that I drive comes from God. The suit that I wear comes from God. The ring on my finger becomes from God. The food that I eat comes from everything that I have come. The church that I pastor came from. Everything. Everything. The celebrated servant is faithful with respect to accountability. Don't mind submitting to leadership. The faithful student is faithful in trustworthiness. You don't have to worry about anybody taking one for God and one for themselves. The faithful student is a holy student, because God is holy. We celebrate the faithful student. Well, the second quality of a student, and I'm just almost finished, is that the celebrated student must be productive. Oh, have I got a witness? God is looking for some productive servants. The God we serve is a productive God. Amen. Hallelujah. The God I serve is a God who's able to make something out of nothing. The Bible says the earth was void and without form, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And this God, the creator of the universe, amen, stepped out and said, be. He just started calling stuff into existence, because he is a productive God. Stuff just pops out of the essence of God. Is there anybody here who understands that God is a productive God? God can step into a dead situation and life comes, because God is a productive God. God can go somewhere where nothing is and just speak a word and trees start popping up. Oh God, help me, Jesus. Rivers start flowing and elephants say, and blow. I'm telling you, God is this God I serve is a productive God. Somebody ought to shout, he's a productive God. God don't hang around a whole lot of dead stuff. That's why we got to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we can't stay at the same as a result of our interaction with God the Father through his Son Jesus Christ. You got to grow up. You got to grow up so that you can bear fruit that is meet for the kingdom of God. You got to bear fruit in character. You got to bear fruit in Christian witness. You got to bear fruit in Christian vocation. God help me, Jesus. We must be God's servant. Must be a productive servant. Finally, I'm telling you, I'm just about done. Third and final quality. And Jeff might have to go get the car started, because I might get in trouble here. We don't mind We don't mind talking about being faithful. We don't mind talking about being productive. But when there is a call to receive the heart and spirit of a pastor, that's a whole different thing. When you say that the saints of God, the church of God, those over whom God has given the pastor oversight, have the responsibility, one of learning and then receiving the heart of the leader. Amen, somebody. I told you, Jeff, you better strike up. I better just go. The celebrated servant is in sync with the leader. When you're in sync with the leader, you got to learn the leader's heart. Amen, somebody. When you're in sync with the leader, you don't mind serving the leader. Amen, somebody. When you are in sync with the leader, when the leader says, God said this, you don't mind submitting because you understand that when I submit to my leadership, my ultimate submission is not to the man, but my ultimate submission is unto God. And it's a troublesome thing to be in a situation where you refuse to submit to the man of God that God has put in place. You better ask Miriam. Miriam, you know, started talking through the side of her mouth to Aaron, her brother. Tell me, who Moses think he is? We got the same mother. I'm sorry, we said mother where I'm from. I know it's right, mother. But we said mother. We got the same mother. That's Baltimore, Pastor. Who he think he is now that he got a little bit of power? See, sometimes we start talking against God's leadership, and the word of God says, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. I'd be even scared to talk about the pastor, amen, behind the pastor's back, because I feel that God will kill you. I still believe in a God that will kill you. See, that's the problem with us. We don't think God will kill us no more. See, there was a time when we were afraid, and I'm going to go on in a second. There was a time when we were afraid and we didn't do stuff, not because we wanted to please God, but we were afraid God was going to kill us. There were some things that we wouldn't say in the church because you thought God was going to kill you if you said it. There were some actions that you would not allow in the church because you thought God, I didn't say that in the church, I didn't go outside. Because you thought that in here, but it seems like we've lost that. We've lost the reverential fear of God that we used to have, my brothers and sisters. But I don't know about you, but I'm afraid of God. And because I'm afraid of God, I realize that I'm just a servant in the plan of God that God has chosen to use for his own glory and honor, and every once in a while I have to submit myself to somebody else. See, there was one servant in the text who thought he knew the leader. Some folk in the church think they know the leader, but he had a negative perception of the leader. You see, he mistook the leader's drive for cruelty. On the other hand, the other saw the leader as industrious and a keen advisor, investor. They had his heart and did what they thought that the leader would do. And so, my brothers and sisters, I've come to understand that when you have the privilege of serving leadership, you don't serve as if you were in the chair. I hope I'm not overstepping my bounds, Pastor. If God has chosen you to serve, I was taught that servants do what they ask. I know that's antiquated. I know I'm grown. I do. No, not in this house. You, this is God's house. Every fiber of carpet is God's carpet. Every pew is God's pew. Oh, let me shut up because I want to come back. And so when we realize that this is God's house, we do it God's way. And when God has appointed his leader, we follow the leadership that God has given us. And so, my brothers and sisters, it was because these brothers had the heart of their leader. They got excited when they saw the leader. Somebody said, the leader is coming. Our master is on his way home. And these two got excited. I said, oh, because the master is going to be pleased with what I did. He went to the one that he had given 5 talents. And the Bible says that the man said, master, you gave me 5. But ain't God good, master? The 5 you gave me, I was able to invest it. And here's 5 more. He said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Enter now into the joy of the Lord. Well, the Bible says there was another man that had 2, and the one that had 2 couldn't wait to testify about the great things of God. Is there anybody here who understands that when God has been good to you, there's something on the inside of you that you said, I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I just couldn't keep it to myself because God has been so good to me. He was like a kid in school. Ooh, ooh, master. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Look at what the Lord has done. You gave me 2, but master, I was worried a little bit. But thank God the Lord showed up and he turned your 2 into 4. And I just want to tell God, thank you for being a faithful God. Is there anybody here that's grateful that we serve? I'm going to my seat. Well, he got 2. What I call the uncelebrated servant. Said, well, you know how you are. That's not a compliment. Somebody come tell you, you know who you are. You know that's not a compliment. It's not following. Said, well, you know, I know you're a hard man. And, you know, you like reaping where you have not sown. And, you know, so basically, here. That's basically what he said, Pastor. He said, here. You gave me 1. And I'm giving you back your 1. Because I wasn't going to. I thought about investing it, but I said, he ain't going to kill me for losing his money. So I took it and I hid it. And I found out you were coming back, so I went and dug it up. Excuse me for a minute. Here. And the master said, thou wicked servant. The master did not celebrate him. But in essence, the master rebuked him. He rebuked him because he was not faithful. He rebuked him because, my brothers and sisters, he did not have the heart of the pastor. And then he rebuked him, my brothers and sisters, because he did not exercise the discernment of the leadership. He basically leaned to his own understanding. Is there anybody here, as I go to my seat, who has ever gotten in trouble because you didn't trust in the leadership? You didn't trust in God, but you leaned to your own understanding. Is there anybody here who made decisions that were not consistent with the word of the Lord? That it sounded like a good idea, but it wasn't a God idea. And the decision that you made some problems for you. Is there anybody here who has ever suffered because they were not walking in the celebratory servant that God has called them to be? Well, that's not the servant that I desire to be. I like the song that says, I want to be a follower of Christ. I want to be one of his disciples. I want to walk in the newness of life. So let me be a follower of Christ. I don't want to lean to my own understanding. I don't want to do right in the sight of Erica. But it is my joy and my pleasure to serve my God. And so whatever God wants me to do, I'm willing to do it. Whatever God wants me to say, I'll say it. Wherever God wants me to go, I'll go. Because it is my life's joy to serve my Lord. If you want me to have joy, give me joy serving my Lord. If I want to have peace, I'll have peace serving my Lord. If you want to be celebrated, then you must position and posture yourself as a celebrated servant. Get under the authority of the leadership. Follow the leadership. Obey the leadership. But that's carnal. That's carnal. But I'm so glad that we're not resigned to live a carnal existence. And that's why I like the song that says, a charge to keep I have, a God to glorify, a never dying soul to save, and fitted for the sky. You see, church, I've come to the realization that inasmuch as Jesus has called me friend, I don't posture myself as a friend. I posture myself as a servant of the Most High God. That's why I don't mind bowing down at the feet of Jesus and crying, holy, holy, holy is our God. That's why I like it when Thomas found Jesus. And the Bible says that he took Jesus by the hand and said, my Lord and my God. He didn't mind serving his Lord. I don't know about you, but I don't plan to live on this earth forever. One of these old days, my eyes are going to close and my lungs are going to stop exhaling and inhaling. One of these days, this heart of mine is going to stop beating. And one of these days, I'm going to lay down, hallelujah, on my bed. And hallelujah, they're going to call somebody in to take me out. But that doesn't make me sad. That brings joy to my soul because I didn't come here to stay forever. I'm a servant of the Most High God, and I'm on my way to the land called Beulah. I'm on my way to that land where every day is Sunday and the Sabbath will have no end. And one of these old days, I'm gonna pull off this immortality. This mortality, and I'm going to put on immortality, and I'm going home to be with Jesus. Can I help somebody? I'm not preaching for a check. I'm not working for accolades. I'm not singing for a certificate. But I do what I do that my Lord might be pleased. And when I get there, I don't want to see Moses. I don't want to see Joshua. I don't want to see Jeremiah. I don't want to see Isaiah. I don't want to see any of them. All I want is to see Jesus. And when I see Jesus, I'm a run. Yes, I am. Straight to the feet of Jesus. I'm gonna bow my head and cry, holy, holy, holy. And then I'll wait for those blessed words. Servant of God, well done. You've been faithful over a few things. Enter now into the joy of the Lord. My goal is to be a celebrated servant for the Lord my God. Is there anybody here that just want to be a celebrated servant? I just want God to be used me. I just want God to be pleased. Is there anybody here? That just wants to hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Officers of Shiloh, don't jockey for position. Won't you give her power or prominence? Fight to serve and serve well. And there's an old song. Oh, when I come to the end of my journey, weary of life, and the battle is won, carrying the staff and the cross of redemption, for he'll understand and say, well, well done. God bless you, Shiloh.